It's All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. Bed-Stuy, Do or Die was immortalized in director Spike Lee's film Do the Right Thing.
Don't work too hard today. The man says it's going to be hot as the devil. I don't want you falling out from the heat. You hear me, son?
I hear you, mother, sister. I hear you.
Good.
All right.
I'll be watching you, son. Mother, sister always watches.
The seminal film, which grappled with issues of race in America, is celebrating its 25th anniversary this weekend in Bedford-Stuyvesant, on the block where Lee shot some of his film, Stuyvesant Street, between Lexington and Quincy, renamed by the city council as Do the Right Thing Way. But did the movie really portray the real Bed-Stuy, and how well have other New York neighborhoods have been portrayed in films? Kristen Meinzer of the Movie Date podcast has her picks. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Amy.
Do you think Do the Right Thing did justice to Bedford-Stuyvesant?
You know, I think the movie tries to depict some of the neighborhood's people from 25 years ago, but it does sometimes rely on extremes. You have, on the very sweet end, the elderly lady who looks out for the whole neighborhood. You have the intergenerational people who play with each other and talk with each other. But then on the other end, you have all the Italians who hate black people, all the black people who hate Koreans, all the Koreans who hate the next group. And so it's very much relying on extremes of a certain time and a certain place. And but there is a little bit of truth in there. And I think that you really do see a lot of the neighborhood and its sounds. You hear the open fire hydrants, the children playing. There's a lot of the brownstones. And so some of it's really, it feels accurate in some ways.
The movie industry started in New York, so it's no surprise that so many films are set here. But when is a New York neighborhood more than a backdrop?
I think that sometimes the neighborhood itself becomes a character. And when that happens, you really feel that it couldn't take place anywhere else. This movie has to be in this place. For example, think about Warriors. Would we have that without Coney Island?
One of my favorites.
Or Saturday Night Fever without Bay Ridge. You need that to be in Bay Ridge. Or any of Woody Allen's movies. Would they exist without the Upper West or Upper East Sides? You really need those because they actually become characters in the movie in a way.
Let's go through some of the less obvious movies you think best showcases New York City neighborhoods as though they're characters. Let's begin with Harlem.
Well, there's so many great movies in Harlem, obviously. The Cotton Club, Harlem Nights, Die Hard with a Vengeance. But the one that I like the best is Superfly from 1972. It's a blaxploitation film directed by Gordon Parks Jr. We have a cocaine dealer who's trying to get on the right side of things. And it just has the streets, the people, and most of all the sounds and that soundtrack from this movie are just so Harlem. They're so fantastic. They're so 1972 on those streets at that time.
What about Williamsburg? I thought Williamsburg was captured well in the HBO series Flight of the Conchords. But in terms of film, what do you think?
Yeah, well, Williamsburg is getting a lot more play these days. You have Girls on TV, obviously, Flight of the Conchords, the new movie Obvious Child. But one of my favorite depictions of Williamsburg is actually from 1993, Ang Lee's movie The Wedding Banquet. And there we actually have an artist living in a loft. And she actually is a starving artist, not a trust fund kid. And that loft actually is borderline not habitable. And we have the bridge actually as a gateway to a better place over in Manhattan. And it's just, you really see Williamsburg at that time and place as something that you understand why artists went there in the first place before it became what it is now.
Let's talk about Midtown, which, of course, you always reach for, filmmakers always reach for Midtown when they want to show shots like in Tootsie, where Dustin Hoffman is walking down the street and there's scores of people
yes.
on the sidewalk during lunch hour. It's just packed with people and traffic and cabs. Besides a backdrop, are there any films that elevate Midtown to a role of a character?
Oh, there are so many. Obviously, there's Ghostbusters, there's Elf, there's King Kong, obviously. But one of my favorites is the 1959 movie Shadows by John Cassavetes. It's a black and white, low-budget movie, all kind of done improvisationally. And you see Midtown is actually a magical place, not a hustle and bustle place necessarily, but one where bohemians walk around at night and hold hands and maybe sit in the sculpture garden at the MoMA. And
bohemians in Midtown?
I know. Isn't that crazy? But it's really just a beautiful, painful film filled with longing and possibility, and I really recommend it to everybody.
Bohemians are not allowed north of Houston Street. All right, you have an honorable mention, The
yes.
City's Underground.
Yes, I just have to point to our wonderful metro system here in New York, the MTA, the subways, because I actually feel like the New York City subway system is its own neighborhood. It's where we're most diverse. It's where we're In the closest proximity. It's amazing that we're not killing each other every day while we're packed in there like sardines. And I think that no movie better showcases that specific neighborhood, that community that we're in together, than the taking of Pelham 123. And I'm not talking the remake. I'm talking the 1974 version. And you see all of New York right there packed together in that car. They're all kidnapped and they're all just being New Yorkers like, who knows what's going to happen? Am I going to get to where I'm going on time? When's
get
this kidnapping going to be over
right.
with?
Yeah. Kristen Meinzer is co-host of the Movie Date podcast. Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks so much, Amy.
You can hear all of Kristen's reviews on moviedatepodcast.org.